Just one quick update before we go to God's word. Scott DeVries, the director of Synodical Services, did pass into Jesus' hands yesterday, so we continue to pray for his family. Our scripture reading today is Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. You can find that on page 1831. This section is called Living as Those Made Alive in Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the things I love about the Bible is that God keeps speaking through it. Often when I come to a text, even a familiar one, it says something new to me. Some texts just keep speaking into our lives, and whenever we run into them again, we hear something new. One passage that speaks regularly, freshly into my life is Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm that we used in our liturgy last week. And another passage was Pastor Joel's sermon text last week, Romans 12, which says, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And the way Pastor Joel invited us to become living doxologies brought a new way to reflect on that text. It turns out that Colossians 3 is becoming one of those passages that I run into over and over and think, oh, there's something I hadn't paid enough attention to yet. So like when Dawn chose a few of these verses for our liturgy on Easter, I realized, oh, this is about Easter clothes. I don't necessarily mean the white and gold that I've been wearing these past few Sundays, because those are the liturgical colors of Easter. I mean that Paul is telling the believers in the Colossian church and all of us to clothe ourselves differently because of Easter. Because Christ was raised from the dead, we have been raised too. So we have to put to death our old way of life, and we are to put on a new way of life. We are to put on Easter clothes. I couldn't say whether those Easter clothes are supposed to be gold and shiny or maybe plain and brown like the robe of Francis, because the clothes that Paul describes here are pretty down to earth, like humility and patience. Yet he also encourages us to set our minds on things above, heavenward, pointing to glory. But maybe we shouldn't be distracted by actual attire. Before we can even think about what kind of attire to put on, we need to look at what has to come off first. Paul says we even have to put some parts of ourselves to death. He wants us to examine what belongs to our earthly nature and identify those harmful habits. And some of the behaviors he specifically mentions include immoral sexual behaviors and desire, those things that happen outside a committed relationship that can be so hurtful and break down relationships. Greed, desiring things that don't belong to us or longing for more than we need, it's a form of idolatry. Rage and anger, malice and slander, attitudes and words that demean and destroy. And dirty talk shouldn't come out of our mouths. And lying to each other can bring so much harm. The sins that Paul mentions here are the kinds of things that break down community, destroy denominations, and wreck relationships. We need to take off and put away those old practices and put on a new self, befitting image bearers of God our Creator and Christ our Savior. This idea of getting rid of old ways and putting on new reminds me of another story. Today's the day for stories. During Advent, we visited Narnia, the land that C.S. Lewis created, where a splendid lion is the great king, and animals talk, and the children who enter Narnia have great adventures. And through their experiences in Narnia, we learn about how God is at work in our world, too. So when this Colossians passage inspired me to reflect on Easter clothes, I remembered another scene in Narnia, this one in the book The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Lucy and Edmund got to go back to Narnia, sailing on the ship, the Dawn Treader, through the Lost Islands. And their dreadful cousin Eustace is with them. Eustace was arrogant, self-centered, and annoying. On one of the islands, Eustace finds a dragon's lair, and he is greedy for treasure. So he fills his pockets with coins, and he pushes a large gold bracelet up on his arm, and then he falls asleep. And he awakens to find himself changed. Lewis writes, "Sleeping on a dragon's hoard with greedy, dragonish thoughts in his heart, he had become a dragon himself." Initially, Eustace thought it might be fun to terrorize the others. But then he realized he actually wants to be friends. And an appalling loneliness came over him. And he desperately wanted to change. One night, a great lion comes to Eustace and leads him to a large well. The water was so clear, and he thought if he could bathe there, it might ease the pain of that gold bracelet tightly stuck on his swollen dragon leg. But the lion told him he had to undress first. Just as God asks of us in Colossians 3, take off your old self. So Eustace tried peeling off the dragon skin layer by layer, by layer by layer, and yet it didn't make a difference. And finally, the lion said, "You will have to let me undress you." And Eustace later told Edmund, "I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty nearly desperate now, so I just lay down flat on my back and let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. You know, if you've ever picked the scab off a sore place, it hurts like billio, but it is such fun to see it coming away." Well, he peeled that beastly stuff right off, and then there I was, smooth and soft as a peeled switch, and smaller than I had been. And Eustace continues, "Then he caught hold of me. I didn't like that much, for I was very tender underneath now that I'd no skin on, and he threw me into the water. It smarted like anything, but only for a moment. After that, it became perfectly delicious. And as soon as I started swimming and splashing, I found that all the pain had gone from my arm. And then I saw why. I'd turned into a boy again. Then he says, after a bit, the lion took me out and dressed me in the new clothes I've got on now. And then Eustace wondered whether it may have all been a dream. But Edmund said, no, it wasn't a dream. There are the clothes, for one thing. And you've been, well, undragoned, for another. I think you've seen Aslan. Yes, indeed. Aslan, that great lion who is the picture of Christ, had visited Edmund, peeled off his old dragon self, and tossed him into the water. And Edmund came out changed. And he was given new clothes for a new life. That scene reminds me of baptism. In the early church, it was customary for those who are newly converted to Christ to take off their old clothes before being baptized. And then when they come up from immersion in the water, they were given new clothes to wear. And in many places around the world today, there still are similar baptism practices. So maybe those clothes for the newly baptized were in C.S. Lewis's mind and in Paul's mind as he wrote to the Colossian church. Put off the old, put on the new, like when you were baptized. It's transformational. And our baptisms, whether as babies or teenagers or adults, mark a change in our lives. In the waters of baptism, God claims us as his own and makes us new. Our old ways are put to death, and we are given new life in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit begins the work of sanctification, making us more like Christ. Yet we don't actually fit into the perfect attire all at once. That process of transformation can be slow and challenging and even painful at times. It took a while for Edmund, too. C.S. Lewis writes, "It would be nice and fairly nearly true to say, from that time on, Eustace was a different boy. To be strictly accurate, he began to be a different boy. He had relapses. There were still many days when he could be very tiresome. But most of those I shall not notice. The cure had begun," Lewis writes. Isn't that the way of it for all of us? We begin to be different as the grace of God changes us for the better. When we are raised with Christ, the cure begins. And Paul says that the new self is being renewed. It's not finished yet. It's a continuing process, this growing in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. We are constantly being transformed, refreshed in delightful waters. And yet, as with Eustace, those old habits, the sin that still clings so closely, still need attention. There will be relapses for us too. We need to watch our mouths when we're inclined to use foul language or say mean things. We need to be wary of the temptation to lust and anger and rid ourselves of them. There are many bad habits that sometimes cling to us. For example, in adult education last week and then this morning, we're talking about some of the good yet messy stories of our churches in this city. And I have to say it can be challenging to look back and be curious about how some of those systemic practices and prejudices that are part of my history still affect me, even though I keep working to strip them away, even when I want to put on the mind of Christ. It's important for me and for all of us to keep hearing Christ is all, and Christ is in all. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, young or old or neurotypical or queer or barbarian or athletic or black or white, Christ is in all. And so we all put off the old and put on the new by God's help. And by the help of the community around us. Did you notice how Paul encourages us all to put on new clothes? Not just one person, but all of us together as God's people, holy and dearly loved. We are to bear with one another. So together we put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We forgive each other. And over everything else, maybe like a big old graduation gown, we put on love. And we teach one another, using the message of Christ, as Francis did. And we gain wisdom through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it says. If you're very observant, you may have noticed that there were psalms in our liturgy of confession and assurance, that we are singing a hymn or two, and that our songs are spirit-filled. And the message of Christ, a message of love, runs through it all. Yesterday, I heard about a song about Eustace that I hadn't known before, but it pulls everything together, so I'm going to share some of the lyrics with you. It's called My Name is Eustace by Benjamin Dunn and the Animal Orchestra. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it. You dig your claws into my chest. I know only you can undress all these scales and all of my shame. You dip me into the waters of your grace. You clean me and kiss me on my face. Only you can dress me in love again. My name is Eustace. I'm not used to this. Grace that makes death die. My name is Eustace. I'm not used to this. Love that makes men alive. You came in an unexpected face. Grace came in an unexpected place. You came and dressed me in love again. When you smile, the winter meets its death. When you turn, we have spring again. Only you can dress me in love again. Friends, only God can dress us in love again. As when Eustace submitted himself to having his scaly skin torn off and received a fresh set of clothes for a new way of living. As when Francis put off his fancy outfit of his former life and put on a simple robe to mark his transformation. So we, as God's people, holy and dearly loved, let's take off our old ways and put on our Easter clothes, good virtues for every season. Alleluia. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit at work within us, helping us to put off those old ways, to put them to death, and helping us to put on new clothes that mark us as those who are raised in Christ. Continue to guide us and lead us by your Spirit with love and grace and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.